This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're honored to have our dear brother with us, my brother from another mother. The Jacksons have adopted me as a member of the family, and I'm thankful for that. And my brother and I are pretty much the same age. I think we might be the exact same age. In fact,
I'm 6'0.
You're 50. You're 50. I'm 58. Okay. Yeah. You're 6'7. So Jesse Jackson Jr.
No, I'm not 67. I'm 60. You said 60.
Oh, I thought you said 57. So you're how old?
I'm 60. Jonathan's 59.
Okay. John and I are right together because I was born in 66.
I'm 65.
Okay. 65. So, all right. I'm a year after you. Jesse Jackson Jr., y'all, running for Congress in Illinois. His old seat, Robin Kelly's running for Senate. My brother, first of all, welcome to the show. How you been, man?
Man, I'm doing strong. I feel really good. Feel great. It's been a long season, but I'm excited. I'm excited about the prospects of the future and maybe to give our district and maybe even the nation during this period a word of hope.
After everything you were subjected to, what made you want to get back into this?
I was drafted by Congressman Bobby Rush and Congressman Danny Davis, and people within the community shared with me that this was a time for leadership in the 2nd Congressional District of Illinois. And I've actually struggled with the decision about being involved in this race. Many candidates have been running for this seat now for 2 years. Fortunately, the exploratory committee conducted a poll, and that poll places us 2-1 of voters in the 2nd Congressional District, should I decide to run. I have made that decision, and that answer will be forthcoming sometime in October. But the platform fundamentally shifts when we engage it. One, I delivered more than $984 million in direct grants to the people of this district. As you know, I had one of the best voting records in the Congress of the United States for the 17 years that I served. I have a record of accomplishment on the ground in this district. People know me. They know what I've delivered. They know what I've done. And they know how much of my life I have given to them, my successes and my shortcomings as well. In fact, we are almost one. The criminal justice experience has only enhanced my empathy for men and women who paid their debt to society but are still trying to find a job. As you know, I have struggled with gainful employment since my release from prison in 2015, 2016. And so if I'm going through it with an undergraduate degree from A&T, a master's in theology from CTS, a law degree from the University of Illinois, and 13 honorary doctorates, imagine the plumber, imagine the carpenter, imagine the bus driver, imagine the man and woman who's paid their debt to society decades ago, who can't fulfill the promise of their lives and the promise of our system without the pardon power. And so I'm advocating that men and women who paid their debt to society in full should be granted by their governors and by the president the full, complete, absolute, and unconditional pardon, just like Joe Biden did for his son, who never served a day in jail, and his family, just like Donald Trump did for 1,500 men and women who ran through the Capitol of the United States, grant our people a new life on earth as it is in heaven. That's the purpose of it being in the Constitution and in the state constitution from our governor. So that's a big part of my platform, but there are other issues out here that matter to the people of the 2nd Congressional District, mostly economic, from jobs to growth. And no one has worked harder at that mark than I have over the last 20 or 30 years of my life. And so I step in on day one with tremendous experience. John Lewis called me the conscience of the Black Caucus while he was the conscience of the Congress because of my knowledge of history and my study of the institution. And so there's some things in this era that we might need some leadership on, and I'd like to play some role.
Tell us, if you would, just a little bit more about your experience in the carceral system and how that is even channeling and empowering you now.
So what I've learned through this process is that ultimately, at least theologically and spiritually, we have to be strong in our broken places. When I was a member of Congress, I did everything I could for brothers and sisters who were exiting the system. Town hall meetings, jobs fairs, you name it. I tried to do it. Everything everyone else was doing, standing for the right legislation, I stood for it. And then when I went in the system myself and came out, I had a very different ministry. Mm. Men and women who go through this process, who do what the judge said do, who plead their case, have been convicted by a jury of their peers, accepted responsibility from the judge, fulfilled their sentences at the federal or the state level. You know, they don't need to come out of prison into a new program, a new 501c3 hustle. They need to be pardoned. They did what the country asked of them to do, but they still can't get a job. They still can't get the forgiveness that Joe Biden's son got or that the January 16th families got. And increasingly, this process does not include forgiveness for being Black. There's a certain unforgivable forgiveness when we make mistakes. But Paul Manafort, who was chairman of Donald Trump's campaign, was pardoned by Donald Trump. I was chairman of Barack Obama's campaign, but I was not pardoned by Barack Obama, not pardoned even though I requested, my father requested, William Barber requested, dozens of members of Congress requested the full pardon of Jesse Jackson Jr., and Joe Biden chose his own son. But there are millions of sons, Mark. 70 million of us have paid our debt to society. And so I have a radical empathy now, and I want to take that empathy to the floor of the Congress and let everybody know who comes through the laws that we passed that at the end of the day, forgiveness is really the promise of America, a new hope, a new life, and that as a nation, ultimately, we have to be strong in our broken places. Let me give you another example. I stood for 5 hours on the floor of the Congress with the gavel when Obamacare passed. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats had lost control of the Congress because the debate was that much of a ruckus, and they asked me to come down and run the House chamber for 5 of the 8 hours. I was proud to slam that gavel when the legislation passed. The way we paid for that legislation was the elimination of waste, fraud, and abuse. Those are three terms, but we say them so quickly, but what's behind that? Behind that waste, fraud, and abuse, when we set the Justice Department on this process, are algorithms of Black doctors in Black communities like Chicago, like New Orleans, like Los Angeles, like New York, who primarily serve Black patients. Mm-hmm. When they serve those patients, if you need a new heart or cardiac surgery or brain surgery or major organ surgery or any kind of major surgery, and you check into a local public hospital, a significant part of that surgery for the indigent is paid for by Medicaid. That's how it's paid for. There are 8 people in that surgical suite. Many of these doctors, some of them doing 2 and 3 surgeries a day, they're not accountants. They've spent their whole life, 30 years of education, for their specialty. When their offices overbill, they can either pay it right back, or once they figure out they've overbilled, the government can bring it to their attention. But not one of them that I've met on this journey ever woke up in the morning and said, I plan to be a crook today. Mm. But I studied to be a crook. No, I've studied to be a brain surgeon. And then once they're charged with overbilling Medicaid, and there are 70,000 of them, and they do their time, and they come back out of the prison, do you realize they can never practice medicine again?
Mm.
With that skill set? And they're doctors like Dr. Jones and out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and other doctors around the country who are only 55 years old, and they did 3 years in prison. But now they can't practice cardiac surgery. Cardiac surgeons don't grow on a tree. But they come back to the Black community after they graduate from Morehouse School of Medicine and Meharry and Howard and Drew, and they work in our communities because Black people like Black doctors, just like Hispanic people want Hispanic doctors. And so we end up locking up the intellectual capacity to take care of our own people. Now, I fight for their pardon. The only way they can get back in the surgical suites is if the president of the United States passes out pardons, just like he did for January 15th insurrectionists, and put right. these people back to work. That's one of the things that I've learned, a radical empathy for people who've been through this process.
Mm.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
There are a lot of people in this race, right? This is going to be a big open race. But you in one time were the incumbent. This is the very same. It's the very same district, right?
Yes, for the most part, it's expanded. It's about 37% MAGA now.
What kind of response are you getting from voters, if any, already?
It's overwhelming, actually. The African American community, as you know, is a very forgiving and a very redemptive community. They like the redemption story. They believe that our people deserve a second chance, and you'll be surprised just how many of our people need a second chance. I mean, even in the District of Columbia, Marion Barry needed a second chance, right? There are more men and women. If I stood in an audience of 500 people and I asked an entire audience, how many of you know someone who's been to jail? Everybody will stand up.
Mm.
How many of you know someone who's been to prison? Everybody stands up. If I ask everybody in an audience of 500 people, how many of you know a family member in jail? 90% of the people stand up. How many of you know somebody who's done their time, has returned from prison? The entire audience stands up. Then you ask them the question, how many of you think and believe that people deserve second chances, particularly in church? Everybody stands up. So the redemption story is a big part of the Black American experience, especially after the era of mass incarceration, not only for low-level marijuana offenders, but I've gone one step further. For men and women who paid their debt to society. Mark, there are no two offenses. No one is in prison for the exact same crime. Not one. And not one person who's ever gotten out of prison is in prison for the exact same offense. Every single offender has a different fact pattern. The context of my offense is not the same as the context of someone even charged with the same crime. So the only standard of measurement is, have you paid your debt to society? And if you have, then you deserve to be forgiven. And it's impractical for me or anyone else to ask 350 million Americans, one at a time, will you please forgive me? So you have to ask the president of the United States on behalf of everybody to forgive me.
That's the only
way to put it behind us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Our dear brother, folks joining us, and appreciate him taking the time. He is most definitely deserving, as he has spoken on behalf of so many others. And frankly, to many of us, this was a blip on the screen. And let me just say, as we approach the 30th anniversary of the Main Man March, the principles of atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility still apply. Mm-hmm. What Jesse Jackson is doing, he served his time, paid his debt, he's atoned. He's reconciled, and now he's taking his responsibility. And many people who've done their time want to do that. They want to come back and give what they can give. He is eminently qualified to continue to give in the role he once gave in, and eminently qualified to continue to serve in that role. He could just chill. but he wants to continue to help people in the way he did 17 years in Congress in which he served. So it goes without saying, I'll say it for the record, I am supporting and endorsing Jesse Jackson Jr. for Congress, 2nd District in Illinois. So y'all can take that to the bank, quote me, do whatever you need to do. If that gets you a few votes, fine, maybe not.
I appreciate
might cost you,
it.
Might cost you votes.
A whole lot of votes. Now, that's who you are, Reverend Thompson. Thank you so much for that.
My brother, love you, man. Oh, website, where can people find you? You need some money too, don't you?
Oh, you absolutely. I have a splash page on Act Blue. Our website goes live tomorrow. Jesse Jackson Jr. for Congress. Jesse Jackson Jr. for Congress 2026. Please Google us, Jesse Jackson Jr. for Congress 2026. And you can also reach me on Facebook, Jesse Jackson Jr. There's a little check mark, a little blue check mark next to my name. And if you scroll down my page, there's a QR code where you can put your phone against it and it'll take you right to the splash page. And obviously, I would appreciate any support people can give us.
Wonderful. Love you, my brother.
Love you more than that, Mark. Can't wait to have you on our program.
Love to. Let me know.
I promise.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.